Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Fix the Family Fix America Radio Show!
Your host for the number one family show in all of the universe. His name is Jack Hatfield.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Fix the Family, Fix America. As he just said, this is the number one family talk show in all of the universe. We are so glad you are here to join us. I cannot even fathom squeezing in all the information that we have found in the last week, so we are going to have to get right to it. Again, we are the number one family talk show in all the universe. Our listeners and listening audience is growing by leaps and bounds like there is no other, and I greatly appreciate it. You can do me a favor right now, and you can go forward your link that you listen to 462 people so that we can even get more and more people understanding what we're trying to do. Had multiple conversations this week with people going, wow, that is amazing. Got several emails going of people going, wow, that is amazing. I got untold amounts of listeners going, wow, that's amazing. And here's what we're doing. We are out there fixing the family, fixing America, doing it in four parts plus one. Those four parts are positive fathering, to be a better father, to be the kind of father that you wish you either had or wish your child had, because you may not be that father at this time. Make a difference mothering, the mother that wishes to make a difference in her child's life versus just change her life to be a little incomplete. Then we have pull through parenting, where we take both parents and have a unified front to the art and beauty of raising your child. Pull through parenting, finally reveal your success, where we take you, your child, your spouse, your significant other, all through the vestibules of life and make it better for them, for you, for your family, totally and completely. The plus one is disease and the diet, where we stop, prevent, and possibly cure degenerative diseases that are affecting the family unit all across this planet. So there you have them, positive fathering, make a difference mothering, pull through parenting, reveal your success, and disease and the diet. We have so much to talk about. The first thing we have to say is tonight, remember, starting next month, every Wednesday will be a workshop Wednesday. We are going to be at Earth Fair in Columbia, South Carolina tonight. In 2 weeks, we'll be in Greenville. In a week after that, we'll be in Charleston. After that will be, I believe, Augusta or Athens. But you can get all of this information, where we're going to be and when we're going to be there, right from diseaseandthediet.com. So please keep up with us, follow us, be there, ask us questions. Again, we're here to help. We're doing this for no other reason than to fix the family and, in turn, make a generational impact that will fix America. That said, let's go ahead and get this thing started. This jazz movement that we have here. Something very, very going on. Last week we spoke about Avandia and the FDA and how they go, yeah, it kills you, but that's okay. That's okay. It still does something else, right? Right? Is that true? Yeah, maybe. Doubt it. Anyway, guess what the FDA is moving closer to setting approval for? Now. Yeah, it's going to be on, it could be on your table, and it could destroy everything that you know about a certain fish. That's your FDA for you. Destroying everything about a certain fish. Not good. Not good. We're also going to talk about how one-third of cancer deaths for you and your pets can be prevented by simple natural diet changes. Because the workshop tonight is about heart disease and diabetes and how this deception has been occurring because of cascading thoughts, we are going to talk about cholesterol and its life-saving facts as well. Then we're going to talk about the new kitty Viagra and what it's doing. Then we're going to talk about how your teens are going to learn about sex. Then we're going to talk about how your fat teen is now being targeted for a surgery that could cause them lots and lots of problems. Then we're going to talk about some premium risks. As you know, the Early Journey Foundation, for those who would like to help, the Early Journey Foundation is the foundation that gets in there and helps parents right at the onset of their premature baby. It gets them the bottles, the necessary toys, the necessary apparatus to take care and help their premature child grow and prosper. If you would like to help today, be sure to visit earlyjourneyfoundation.org and donate all you can. Even in this economic times, preemies are born every single 64 seconds. We're on the air for 1 hour. That gives us 58 new premature babies by the time I finish this show that we have to take care of. So please, earlyjourneyfoundation.org, click on give and donate and help them out. They are really trying hard to help as many people as they can. So we're going to talk about that respiratory risk. Then we're going to talk about how, remember last week we uncovered this story that really had no bearing. It said Americans drinking more, and then the third line was Americans do not appear to be drinking more. So it was really a non-issue. Well, for those of you who liked the fact that Americans were drinking more, there's a new study saying, hey, drinking alcohol can help you with this. Then we're going to talk about A lot of people talking about how Lindsay Lohan went into jail. We're going to talk about how you can make sure your child doesn't go down the path of drug and keep your child drug free. There's five possible things you should look for. We're going to talk about them, parents. This is a portion of our pull-through parenting segment for both of you to look at the five possible ways to keep your child drug free, to look for. Gotta be there. Then cancer tumors are shrinking and even disappearing without changing diet and without changing anything that you eat or take. What could that be? And then, of course, vitamin D. Since we're talking about heart disease tonight in the workshop, how vitamin D and its correlation with heart disease. We're going to talk about all of that today. This is a major day. And again, thank you for being here. My name is Jack Hatfield. I am your host. I am trying to stay as calm as I can, even though I'm very, very excited. The workshop being today, the unprecedented amount of news that we have going on, the absolute fight over your ability to make your own decisions in the health field, the lots of things are just simply changing the landscape of where we are today and our health. So let's talk about what the FDA, since they did that really weird thing last week where they said this drug, this diabetes drug, will kill you with a heart attack or stroke, but your diabetes will be okay. And the FDA went, oh, that's all good. That's all good. Well, today they're closer to setting approval for the Frankenfish. That's right. The Frankenfish. This is the first genetically engineered animal for human consumption. A salmon with cross-species genes, and an always-on hormone switch that enables them to grow twice as fast. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're sitting there going, well, that doesn't sound like it would be a good thing. Well, that's correct. It's not going to be a good thing, because what would happen if that fish suddenly goes out in the wild? And what would happen if suddenly this fish was approved? It could open the floodgates to all kinds of genetically engineered animals, could it not? Suddenly we'd have cow-alicious, where cows and ice cream were genetically crossed, and they would just simply make ice cream. That's a joke, of course, but you see what I'm saying. But the safety of the salmon is going to come as early as fall, and it is going to review the salmon, this Frankenfish. Now, scientists and critics and anti-biotech organizations, remember, we've spoke about this 4 weeks ago, how we're the only country that eats GMO foods, that's genetically modified organisms, in our soy and our corn and everything else. So now we're going to look at genetically modified animals as well. Now look, corn that produces its own pesticides has already been genetically modified. That doesn't sound right. Do you know what creating your own pesticide means? Pesticides, remember, attack the nervous system of the insect. So a corn plant that is designed to attack the nervous system of the thing, item that's eating it, do you think that would be a good thing for you and I to consume? No, it would not. I agree. Then there's Monsanto's Roundup Ready seeds that produce plants that enable you to spray them with herbicide and they still live. That's right. So anyway, this engineered salmon developed by a company called Aqua Bounty Technologies. What it did, it took an Atlantic salmon that contains a growth hormone gene from a Chinook salmon, as well as a genetic on switch from the ocean pout, which is a distant relative of the salmon. Aqua Bounty contends the fish will be safe for consumption and the environment, pointing out they will be raised on fish farms with safeguards against their release. Oh, and they'll be sterile as well. Other fish science are saying, I think it's inevitable that the superfish will escape into the wild and represent a threat to native salmon populations. They also believe a small percentage of the fish will likely be fertile and that wild salmon will try to mate with the larger fish regardless, depressing reproductive rates. So if the infertile fish still go to try to mate, they will depress regular salmon's population. Pacific Coast salmon are already struggling for sustainability, and now this being put out there as well could cause the Pacific Coast salmon to be gone forever. Now, in 1999, scientists from Purdue warned of risk from transgenic fish in the wild. They found that transgenic fish were larger and more attractive mates, and the traits of transgenic fish spread quickly throughout a wild population. Their offspring lived shorter. The native population would eventually be wiped out. Widespread concern because the escape to farm fish is inevitable. Now, in Scotland and New Zealand, bioengineered salmon have been abandoned. They said no. Likewise, fear of consumer complaints have resulted in a lot of salmon farming groups saying they will not use genetically engineered fish regardless of whether the government approves them. While that sounds good, a chemical spill, as terrible as it is, such as the Gulf spill, can often be contained and its damage dilutes over a period of time. The exact opposite happens when you create these frankenfish. They escape and mingle with native populations, pass on their genetic traits, and their presence will just continue to grow and grow, and you cannot reverse it. Now remember, the salmon farmers all said, we're not going to worry about this frankenfish, but Aqua Bounty co-founder Elliot Entis said, there's not a salmon company in the world that hasn't talked to us privately. Frankenfish, you want to talk about a bad spell? I do believe wiping out the native populations of salmon would cause some issues, seeing that salmon is looked upon as a health food and eaten regularly by lots and lots of people. So if you're concerned about your seafood, you're concerned about your world, you need to get to the FDA as fast as possible and say no to the frankenfish. It's important. Ladies and gentlemen, I am about to try to understand what occurred just now. I believe that the last 20 minutes were completely blank. Apologize immensely for that. Apparently there was an issue with the recording equipment. It is now fixed that I see. So we are good to go. Very, very good. But we have to really quickly go into what we talked about. We talked about a study that really wasn't a study at all. And then we talked about how sandhill.sohooffice.com is getting you ready for the new millennium. When you are ready to be a part of the, not getting any more excuses for your economy and ready to be a part of your own business, the place to get your services from, your business cards, your letterheads, your envelopes, your websites, your logos, your meeting rooms, your shipping department, your printing department, all of that is available to you right there at sandhill.sohooffice.com. Go there now. Email them and tell them you're ready to be a part of what you need to be a part of. For those of you who just had 10 or 12 minutes of blank silence, I apologize. I hope you are still listening. Seems we had a small issue with the recording equipment that is now fixed. The headline of this is Kitty Viagra may get Pfizer a patent extension. Now, the essence of this is, so what? Okay? Pfizer plans to sell a children's form of Viagra that will treat a rare lung disorder in children. It affects approximately 600 kids a year. But doctors have been using the drug on children, saying it's well tolerated and doesn't have as many side effects as other treatments, because it modifies the blood flow, Viagra, which could reduce unusually high blood pressure in child's lungs or pulmonary arterial hypertension, which gives them dizziness, chest pain, and fatigue. So I have no problem with children being better by finding out that a blood flow drug can help them. The Kitty Viagra, as they call it, will be called Revatio. Revatio. So now approximately 600 children a year will be getting free treatment from Pfizer. Now, the article goes on to say Pfizer gets a six-month extension of its patent. Okay. Very good. So when you hear the rush of Kitty Viagras out there, remember it is treating a very serious lung disorder for children. Now, because parents, you're too stupid to teach your children about sex, a video game featuring avatars is being developed to teach preteen girls in the U.S. to resist peer pressure when it comes to sex. The University of Central Florida is developing a game that centers around young people, and they're using motion capture suits to give you the opportunity to interact with your avatar, and you'll earn points for particular social skills that you develop. A boy similar in age, here's a possibility in the game. A boy similar in age might approach the person playing the game and ask her to make out, or there might be some sexual innuendo. In other words, your preteen girl has a place to practice where there aren't any social consequences. The game is expected to be ready by the spring of 2011. So now, parents, stop worrying about teaching sex to your teenagers, to your preteens. The University of Central Florida will create a game for you to do that. Another place that says you're too stupid to raise your child. Wow. Speaking more about teens. Speaking more about teens and their issues. Remember, we have this large war on childhood and teenage obesity. Well, guess what they're targeting teens for now? Come get your gastric band surgery. That's right. Hey, you're a little obese there, teenager? Getting a little picked on there, teenager? Instead of learning the stuff that we teach on how to control your weight and eat better, go back, go on in and get that gastric band surgery right around your stomach. Make it a little smaller so you can't eat as much and you lose weight. Now, after one patient died and other suffered serious complications following this surgery, there's a doctor called Neelu Pal. He's seen enough. She is telling patients about to undergo the weight loss procedure that she feared for their safety. But that doesn't stop. The U.S. FDA now has an application on its desk to market the device to teens as young as 14. A gastric band is exactly what it sounds like. It's a silicone rubber band placed around the top portion of your stomach to create a pouch that restricts food intake. It is becoming increasingly popular in the United States. It is becoming an especially attractive option for teens, say proponents, because it's reversible. But symmetric pouch dilation, a complication in which the small pouch created at the top of the stomach by the band gets bigger, happens more from teenage gastric surgery than adult surgery. Yes, guess why? Because they're still growing. So, parents, be sure to talk to your teens, your preteens, and say, let's get our health straight, let's get our weight straight, and let's not worry about what is coming at us from the media and from the marketing minds of surgical companies. Let's not allow that to happen. And that's important here on Fix the Family, Fix America. Parents doing what they need to do. And that is called listen. Parenting. That's right. Parenting. Now, everyone that listens to this program knows probably, and if you're a brand new listener, thank you for listening, and you're going to learn something right now that everyone else knows. I had a premature daughter. And we faced all the risks that you hear from premature children. Now they're finding out that even later preemies are facing respiratory risks. Babies born weeks before their due date are at increased risk for serious breathing problems. Okay? Preemies born before their 37th week of pregnancy are at an increased risk for breathing and respiratory illnesses because their lungs aren't fully developed. The pulmonary system is the last to develop in a fetus. So the study is saying we need to deliver babies as close to 39 weeks as possible. Everyone is getting surprised to learn. And remember, the 32-week mark is it used to be the benchmark. Get the baby to 32 weeks, and they should be okay. But now they're finding babies born at 34 weeks, the risk of respiratory distress syndrome increased 40 times. At 37 weeks, three times higher compared with a baby born at 39 or 40 weeks. Respiratory distress syndrome is a serious breathing problem, more common in preemies, which often requires babies to be resuscitated in the delivery room. 9% of late preterm babies had respiratory illness. Many of these babies had to be admitted to the NICU, neonatal intensive care unit, which brings more problems, including newborns being separated from their mothers, moms not being able to breastfeed, leading to feeding difficulties for the babies, and preemies can have difficulty controlling their body temperatures. Premature babies face all kinds of risk, bleeding on the brain, vision problems, mental retardation, cerebral palsy. Prematurity is the number one leading cause of deaths among newborns. So again, as I spoke to you earlier, the Early Journey Foundation is there to help. EarlyJourneyFoundation.org, and give as much as you can to help premature babies going through these struggles. It is very, very important. My child is now 6, for those of you who are wondering. I wrote a book on her progress. You can get that at Amazon or Barnes & Noble, bookstores all over the world. Just order it off the internet, it'd be fine. It's called Blessed with Tragedy. You can go to blessedwithtragedy.com and even order a signed copy by me. And it shows you exactly what we went through day by day. As we said before, every 64 seconds, there's another premature baby, another family facing these respiratory risks, another family facing the brain vision problems, another family facing something they never thought they would face. The Early Journey Foundation is the voice of pre-miracles, and we need your help. Okay, let's see if we can raise the mood a little bit. Whenever I talk about preemie children and I see pictures of premature children, I remember, and I just want to help. So if you could help, I'm telling you, please help. EarlyJourneyFoundation.org. Get the stuff in the hands of the parents that are currently being affected. Really would appreciate it. Now, back to drinking. Remember, I got a libation right here. Let's take one more sip here. This libation does happen to be absolute unsweetened, 100% non-concentrated Concord grape juice and non-sweetened, non-concentrated wild blueberry juice. Excellent, excellent stuff. But moderate drinking has now been linked to a variety of benefits that we spoke about here on this show. Reduced risk of heart disease, stroke, diabetes. What? You mean drinking makes my heart not have problems? I'm not going to die of a stroke and diabetes is gone? Possibly. We've talked about those in depth. But there's another study saying it may ease the pain and lower the risk of developing rheumatoid arthritis, a potentially crippling autoimmune disorder. People who do not drink alcohol are roughly 4 times more likely to have rheumatoid arthritis than people who have at least one drink 3 or more days per week. The researchers also found that rheumatoid arthritis patients who drink alcohol tend to have less severe symptoms than their non-drinking counterparts. And the more often they drink, the milder their symptoms are. Well, That is the case around the world, I do believe. The more often you drink, the less pain you're going to feel in general, I'm pretty sure. But another reason, alcohol reduces immune activity, and to some extent, we suspect this is the main reason alcohol consumption is associated with the reduction in severity of rheumatoid arthritis. It has a mild pain-killing effect. Who needed a study for that? How many people have said, I have a headache, I'll get a drink? My tooth hurts, I'll get a drink. Goodness. Now, they, of course, with the caveat, this doesn't mean rheumatoid arthritis patients should head for the nearest bar or liquor store. They looked at how many days per month the participants drank, not how much they downed at each sitting or what they filled their glasses with. So the link is still kind of fuzzy. And rheumatoid arthritis drugs such as methotrexate can cause liver damage if you consume it with alcohol. So, ladies and gentlemen, you may can get off your drug, take a few more drinks, and your rheumatoid arthritis may be prevented, and the severity, if you get it, will be less. Very good thing to know for drinkers out there. Now, we want to talk about parents. Pay attention here. There's five signs that parents can look for that might indicate a problem for your child and drug use. Number one, your child has a sudden change in appearance, friends, and activities. So if your child suddenly decides to dress in grunge instead of polo, this is not an infallible sign of a problem. But if over several months you see them hanging out with a bunch of different friends, getting really contentious and dressing differently, the totality should say to the parent that something is wrong. Now, I don't know how many parents wouldn't notice that, but I know that all of you, Fix the Family, Fix America, listeners would notice this because you listen to this show. Just making sure that our recording devices were still functioning. You are unfamiliar with the language your child speaks or texts. All right? If this text message, G2G, P911, and I'm number sign, colon number sign, popped up on your child's cell phone, would you know what that meant? It's time, parents, for you to learn the language child speak. Back in the day, it used to be wasted, all kind of stuff. Dex, skiddling, tussing, robo-tripping, and triple C's. Familiarize yourself with your child's vocabulary. It can help you be more proactive in communicating and getting involved at the front end. There's a list of street terms to help you recognize the names used to identify popular medications and controlled substances available on the internet. That list is at, street terms. And then there's another list at theantidrug.com/advice/teens-today/teens-and-technology/internet-lingo.aspx. I believe if you go to antidrug.com, you can find your way down to that. And you'll be okay. By the way, the G2G, P911, and I'm colon number sign translates to got to go, parent alert, and I'm wasted. If you suddenly bottles disappear, this is number three, bottles disappear from the medicine cabinet faster than they should. Medications containing dextromethorphan, DXM, which is an ingredient in many cough syrups, account for more than 12,000 emergency department visits in 2004 because robo-tripping is taking too much of that. The NLM.NIH.gov has brand names of other products that contain DXM, so you need to be vigilant in watching the levels of DXM-containing products. Number four, another family member has an addiction problem. An estimated 7.3 million children younger than 18 live with a parent who abuses alcohol or drugs. What? So if the Again, parents of this show, know that your child is looking at your behavior and going to mimic what you do. You know that you probably shouldn't be doing crack right in front of your kid. And number five, the most obvious item that we talk about here on Fix the Family, Fix America, because we do not think our listeners are stupid. Your gut says something's wrong. Your gut is telling you your child's got problems. Your child's different. In other words, saying, instead of thinking my kid wouldn't do that, or maybe I should approach the child too soon and it would do more harm than good, something's telling you got to do something. There's a couple here in this article that they had a feeling something was happening, but they never saw him drinking or doing drugs, so they thought their fears were unwarranted. They didn't want to lose his trust. They wanted to make sure they were still his friends. Well, despite years of treatment, their son continued his addiction, and at 35, he died after taking an IV containing heroin and cocaine. Their child smoked a joint at age 11, and they did nothing about it. Knowing what they know now, they would have done that sooner, even if it didn't matter in the end. So get involved, parents. Pull through parenting. That's why we're here. And for new listeners, let me go over this fact one more time. This is crucial. We are Fix the Family, Fix America. My name is Jack Hatfield. We are so excited for you to be here. We are the fastest growing family talk show in all of the universe. We are here to do four things plus one, that is positive fathering, make a difference mothering, pull through parenting, and finally reveal your success. The plus one is disease in the diet, the way to prevent, cure, and possibly never have degenerative diseases disrupting your family. Now, we spoke about something that can cause cancer tumors to shrink and even disappear. There is spontaneous regression has been reported numerous times for virtually all cancers. It has been documented in neuroblastoma, renal cell carcinoma, lymphoma, malignant melanoma, invasive breast cancers, and now research is coming to find out why. And they're saying enhancing your social life. What? They found that when they gave mice cancer, then they gave them enriched living conditions and a boost in their social life, their tumor shrank, and some of their cancers disappeared completely. That's powerful evidence that social connection and an individual's mental state plays an important role in the way the body responds to malignancies. Animals' interaction with the environment had a profound influence on the growth of cancer more than we knew was possible. This is very, very crucial. So cancer people that have a social role, cancer patients that have a social role or increase their social role, can have spontaneous remission or regression. They gave the mice bigger living groups. They gave them extra space, extra toys, hiding places, running wheels. Five 5% of mice with cancer showed no evidence of the disease after just 3 weeks of living in a new home. Wow. So, is the brain-derived neurotrophic factor an important cure in cancer? We've talked about it here. For too long, physicians and others have stuck to what they know, surgery, chemo, radiotherapy, and we know those as cut, poison, and burn. Traditionally working on that area of the lifestyle, the social area, the soft area, this new study suggest that we look at people more in terms of perception of their disease, their social interactions, and their environment, we can realize a profound influence on cancer. We can take the brain-derived neurotrophic factor, BDNF, And we're showing that you cannot look at a disease like cancer in isolation. We say that all the time on this show. What if cancer is not a disease? What if cancer is not a disease and we're looking at it incorrectly? Well, this new study shows that could definitely be the case. Cholesterol, blood pressure, heart disease, all kinds of stuff. You hear about it all the time. Well, they found out that vitamin D can significantly reduce a person's risk of heart disease. We've been talking about vitamin D now for months and months and months on this radio show. Vitamin D, the whole get out the sun, it causes you problems world that we live in, is causing vitamin D deficiencies across this continent. Now, what else do people say cause heart disease? Oh, high blood pressure. Well, guess what else they found? There's this crazy idea that sugar may be a risk factor for heart disease. And not just regular sugar. No. Fructose. Not to be confused from natural fructose in an apple. The people that gobble down the most fructose had the highest blood pressure. Those who polluted themselves with 74 grams of added sugar or more a day were 77% more likely to have blood pressure levels of 160 over 100 or greater. Just to give you an idea of how much that 74 grams of fructose is, 2.5 20-ounce bottles of Coke. Some people eat that at lunch. Start watching your diet, and a lot of degenerative diseases will take care of themselves. That's what we talk about here on Fix the Family, Fix America. It's what we constantly say on Fix the Family, Fix America. We are here to help you. 1/3 of cancer deaths in people and dogs are preventable through diet changes through another recent study. The key is severely limiting snack foods for humans and dogs that contain ingredients rich in omega-6 fatty acids. Because they have found that the omega-6-to-3 ratio is causing lots and lots of issues. And guess where your most omega-6s are coming from? Coming from vegetable oils such as corn and soybean oils. You all know the mantra of this show, to stop the consumption and ingestion of soybeans by the human population and by the dog population, pet population, because pets are part of the family as well. So, this new doctor unraveling the intricacies of canine cancer and human cancer says getting your 6-3 ratio back in balance, because omega-3s are found where? In salmon. And guess where you're getting more salmon from? They have created the frankenfish so they can grow more salmon faster. Come on, how bad can that be? And the omega-6s found in vegetable oils. They also say, get this now, in the mainstream area, they're going to say omega-6s are found in meats. That is not true. Omega-6s are found in meats that are fed corn and soybeans and grain. Regular cattle, grass-fed beef, has a ratio of 1:1, 3s and 6s. Absolute perfection. grain-fed cattle or the cattle that you get at your grocery store. Corn-fed cattle has a ratio of 16 or 18 or 25 to 1.
Six
to threes. So the typical American diet tends to be overloaded with omega-6s and deficient in omega-3s. This imbalance has been linked to autoimmune diseases, allergies, heart disease, arthritis, asthma, and cancer. The glut of omega-6s, I've got to finish this sentence, I've only got a minute. The glut of omega-6s are coming mostly from vegetable oils, such as soy and corn. And soy and corn oil is almost in every single thing we eat today. Ladies and gentlemen, we are on a mission. We're going to stop it. You're here listening to this. That's why this show is becoming the most popular radio show in all of the universe. We'd like to thank you for being here. Sorry about that maybe 10 minutes of recording issues. We will try to make sure that we do not have those errors anymore. And we hope that you're here. We hope that you're at the workshop tonight from 6 to 7 at Earth Fair in Columbia, South Carolina. Now, get to work and go home. Kiss your spouse. Kiss your children. Give them a big squeeze. Fix the family. Fix America. Thank you very much.